Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Better turn that on, right? Turn that on.
Helps it work a little bit.
It is the day after the 16th year of the attacks on 9/11 2001. It is September 12th, 2017. A lot of information to get into. We have a great program lined up for you tonight. Of course, now the first half hour, the first segment, we're going to be getting into some topical news analysis, information that you need to know. The Gary Hunt's going to be checking in with us, of course, during the next segment. And then we have Daniel Horowitz, the author of an unbelievably great book, Stolen Sovereignty. And we're talking about a number of things there. I just can't wait for you to hear what he's got to say. Then, of course, Stan Dale, wrapping up our number three. And a couple of things before we get into the program. Speaking with Ted Brewer today, folks, they're fine. Everything's fine. They're in business. They're up and running. Healthmasters.com. I think they lost power for like 24 hours. It was just a very minimal amount of time. But Healthmasters.com, Doug Five. And what happened was, because of the timing of the hurricane over Florida, of course, I think people just thought, man, they're buckling down. Bottom line is they are open for business using the coupon code Doug5. And even better, I asked Ted, I said, so, okay, you were in Orlando. How bad was it? He said, it cost us $20. Lost $20 screen. Patio screen. That was it. That was the damage. So, you know, was this overhyped?
Yes.
You know, yes, I'm sure it was. But then the question, though, I have is, it's really a no-win situation. I mean,
okay, it is and it isn't. And I agree with you. But I was getting into this a little bit on our show today. The 185-mile-an-hour winds,
right.
The storm that hit part of the Caribbean islands and what it hit before that was a real threat.
Yes.
But when you see all these news stations, you know, tracking Irma 7 days before the storm gets there, calling it a nuclear hurricane, mandatory evacuations for a state and a half almost before it even got within 100 miles. Yes, it's good to be prepared. Yes, there was very minimal loss of life.
Praise God for that, too.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people prayed when they saw some of that video coming off the the islands of St. Martin. And Eric, you got to play that my dad's favorite song so I can get the name of some of those islands down there.
Yeah,
that's it.
There you go.
But favorite no, song. I mean, it was a real threat, obviously. But there is a point when you overhype it. And just to give you an example, there was an article on Drudge from Bloomberg today.
Wait, before you get that article, though, but weren't some Nike shoes saved from the hurricane?
Did you see the Mark Dice video?
No.
Folks, okay, I wish we could play that right now. Mark Dice did a video either yesterday or the day before. I believe it came out yesterday. And it was really good. I mean, if you are one for sarcastic humor, he superimposes his own voice over Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon doing coverage of looters. It's called People Rescue Air Jordans from Foot Locker During Hurricane.
Wow. And that just, okay. So
he does a spin
up
on it as he's pretending to be Anderson Cooper and Don Lemon, talking about the looters or the brave men and women who went out and rescued other people's property from the storm damage. And he does it from that point of view and gets into, I mean, it's real sarcastic. It's
wow.
Real funny.
All right.
But, right. You got to watch that after the show.
Okay. Now I do have kind of an announcement as well. And again, healthmasters.com, open for business. Didn't miss a beat. I do suggest people go ahead and order. And I think that the storm, you know, prevented some people thought, hey, they're shutting down. Well, no, they're open for business and they're ready to go. Doug Five is the coupon code. So, I do want to make an announcement. I'm going to be absent the next 3 days. I'm going to be traveling to Branson, Missouri, attending the True Legends Conference. Not as a speaker, not for any, my presence. I will be there. My intent is to, well, I've got some business to take care of down there, and I'm going to be talking with Steve Quayle, meeting with him, meeting with Henry Groover and others that will be down there, Pastor David Langford, everyone down there and others. So just as an FYI, so John is going to sit in for me, and
it should be fun.
It's going to be, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the crew here keep going at the studio. And but having said that, expect some pretty interesting reports. I do intend to report. It maybe not contemporaneous. I'm not 100% sure yet, but what I bring back is going to be, I think, incredible in terms of some of the information that everyone's going to want to hear. So that's just something I thought I'd let you know. And so Eric, the tech, working hard. John and Joe in front of the camera. Eric behind the camera. Jackie, fully manned, fully staffed studio as well. And so it's going to be good. All right.
Now, if you wanted to roll your vacation into a retirement, you can see how the studio and everything works in your absence. Now, I'm not urging you to retire. I'm just saying you can
retire.
Consider.
No, that's...
But I know you.
It's not
you
in my future.
Retire.
That's not in my future. No, no. Cut my brake lines. You know. Yeah. There you go. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray to resign following multiple accusations of sexual abuse. I don't know how many people.
It's been in the news for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
With other scandals surrounding him.
But I wanted to just bring this up again. You know, he's planning on resigning. Fifth accuser, who happens to be the mayor's younger cousin.
He ran with these accusations and won the election under the call boys coming out and exposing him. There was, I think, two at the time of the election.
But I think in this case, the reason I bring this up, and the only reason I bring this up, is because people are saying, well, you know what? Things are not happening with respect to Pedogate. Yeah, they are. Is this connected to what we believe the Washington D.C. inner circle Pedogate? Not directly, but indirectly. And I'll just leave it at that. There's issues that have to be adjudicated yet before, but you're going to see. Watch this case closer, as well as the Sandusky information that's coming out with respect to Sandusky. Additional tidbits here and there. Just understand there are good people out there who are standing behind the rule of law and are going after politicians, and this guy is one of them. Meaning this guy is one of the accused mayor of Seattle, just to be clear.
I got a story that's pretty interesting. Coach Dave will like this. A high school has banned God from attending the game. At least they banned organized prayer due to a complaint about a high school reciting prayers over the loudspeaker during last year's football season. The school decided to ban the practice, the prayer, opting instead for a moment of silence. However, two teams in Clay County, West Virginia, ignored the ban completely. On Friday's season opener, the Clay County and Braxton County high school teams did something unexpected in the wake of a school's decision to institute a moment of silence and replace the previous prayer that opened the games from last year. They gathered in the center of the field, knelt down, and bowed their head for the moment of silence. Once the moment of silence started, both teams began to pray out loud in unison. And the school even commented and said, "This is a situation that is out of our hands, unfortunately." But it's a feel-good story about people still doing the right thing and coming together and still, despite a ban from, you know, their authorities, the high school kids, both teams, prayed out loud during the moment of silence that they implemented as a replacement for the prayer from last season. Pretty interesting story. Now, to some political and other news. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Check out the latest there. Peter Chalka has written another article today that's up there. That's really good. I'm not going to really get into it. It's about Eric Bolling, son's junior. Eric Bolling and his son, and the media coverage that the left-wing media outlets like Huffington Post, what they're doing with this story.
And if I can just say this, I spoke with Peter Chalka today and asked him if he would come on tomorrow night specifically to discuss this and other issues. So tomorrow, the second hour tomorrow night, Peter Chalka is going to come on, and the information he has, and I would urge everyone, please, please tell everyone you know to tune in to tomorrow night, Peter Chalka, the second hour. The information he has is just critical. People need to know. And also, on HagmanReport.com, he's got his own section of articles there. So on the right-hand side, you can go directly to his articles, or you can go within the body of the website. He also has articles at AmericanThinker.com. I do want to let you know that that the information he's got is new, it's critical, it's important. So,
and folks watching on YouTube, you can see right under the Twitter feed section of our website, on the right hand side, right under that is Peter Chalka's own section.
That's right.
Thanks, Eric.
And he's a prolific author and a tremendous man and intellect. And what's taking place, by the way, Joe, at Fox News and with the alternative media, with the honest media, is extremely critical. And this, believe it or not, there's another reason for my travels to my leaving the studio for 3 days, and I don't want to be cryptic about it, but there's more than one reason, and one of those is to address some issues with respect to the censorship of the alternative media, and I'll be meeting some people that on Thursday. I'll be meeting some people early in the morning to discuss certain things, and then also the expansion of our investigative team at HomelandSecurityUS.com, which is part and parcel to this. So it's a multifaceted absence, but you guys don't care. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay. Want to jump on some Hillary Clinton news. She seems to be making a lot of headlines across the world of journalism with the release of her new book, What Happened, from blaming, today there's a headline about her blaming Bernie Sanders for not handing over or conceding the Democratic nomination early enough, to yesterday there was a headline where she blamed, in an interview she did on CBS, she blamed everything from Russia, Facebook, fake news, sexism, misogyny. She said she was just a pretty face. That's what people. That's what they said. That was just another pretty face.
Another pretty face. Who today, said that? Are you sure Clinton said that?
Oh, I'm sure. This is what she wrote in her book. Today, there's an article on Newsbusters. Clinton, media landscape unfair to Democrats. Right has dedicated propaganda channels. This after a headline on Drudge today points out that since Trump has been in office, he has received 91% negative news coverage.
Yes.
And that was even higher, I would say, during the election cycle. But here Hillary Clinton's blaming the media, the last and only people she can't blame for her election loss on the election loss.
And it's interesting to me, because between January and April of this year, there was an agency that did actually a research survey on the coverage on Hillary Clinton, and specifically, on Donald Trump, and the negative coverage of the media, 93% top, or NBC topped 93% negative coverage for Donald Trump, and that went all the way down to 52% for Fox News. And so there it is. And everything in between, with most of the numbers being above 75% negative on Donald Trump. And I, the reason right. I said that is because the media has never been more favorable to Hillary Clinton than subsequent to the loss of her election.
Chris Cuomo, we did everything we could.
Yeah.
From CNN said that. Even he said, as the media, we did everything that we could. She goes on to specify in the article, this is from a liberal podcast formed by former Obama speechwriters called Pod Save America. A little play on God Save America. She called out the media for putting Democrats at a disadvantage, saying the media played a false equivalency with her and Trump in their reporting. Clinton had also blamed right-wing media outlets for not giving Democrats a fair advantage because supposedly there's no left-wing media outlets. Right off the bat, the interviewers were out for cheap shots against the right. They go on to ask her what the first question, what advice would you give them about how to grapple with the kind of sexism you grappled with during the campaign?
Eric the Tech is rolling, laughing over there. But
he's got me laughing pretty good, too.
My goodness.
Anyways, it goes out to, she went on to blame not only Bernie Sanders for not immediately endorsing her as candidate, but shifted the blame to right-wing media propaganda channels as the real problems Democrats face. I think we face a number of obstacles that the other side has dedicated propaganda channels. That's what I call Fox News. It has outlets like Breitbart and, you know, crazy InfoWars and things like that. And it's funny, she calls out Fox News.
Yeah.
Which is very liberal leaning for a conservative news organization, and is the only one out of the four cable news, 24-hour cable news networks that just isn't in the bag for all liberals and promoting a liberal agenda. She had ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, on and on and on and on, NPR. But she's going to go and say something about Fox News, who's probably just as much in the bag for the globalist agenda as all the other outlets. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a joke. She's just making excuses for why she lost, and she'll never point out the actual reason, which is her and her ideas, her history of corruption, her inability to connect with the American people because she is so out of touch. I was wondering, you know, we have ancient and older leaders who have left terrible marks on society. You know, you have, what are some of the names that we hear? Ivan the Terrible, and they have all these, you know, nicknames for these dictators. What's Hillary Clinton's nickname going to be? I was thinking about that today. Yeah, I figured that's what you were going to say. But
one that never grew on you, but nonetheless, we had fun with it.
But either way, you're going to see a lot of Hillary in the media over the next few days because they're continuing to give her airtime, interviewing her for her book, What Happened. And I like the little image. It's two images next to each other. One is the cover of her book, What Happened? And then the next one is a picture of Donald Trump on a book, and it says, I Happened. I thought that was pretty funny. What happened? Hillary happened. That's exactly right. we got this story last night right after we ended our show. National Guardsmen arrested for threatening to assassinate Mike Pence. A 22-year-old National Guardsman was arrested for talking about killing Vice President Mike Pence before his visit to the 9/11 memorial yesterday in Pennsylvania.
No, that's some serious. When you read the article, National Guardsman, that's serious.
It's kind of weird. He didn't say, I'm going to go kill Mike Pence. He said, if somebody paid me the right amount of money, I would do it. So it's not a specific threat, but sure enough, obviously, he said what he said. The exact quote says, if someone pays me enough money, I will kill the vice president. Witness said they contacted commanding officers after they heard Dunbar make the statement. His name is William Robert Dunbar of New Jersey. He was charged Saturday after his comments before Pence's trip for the annual observance of the Flight 93 crash. So that's something that's in the news that you should keep your eye on. Also, Michael Snyder has a fantastic piece that we have up here on HagmanReport.com. Debt Nightmare. Does anyone actually care that our exploding national debt, and you open the story, is destroying our future? And it's a really good article about how we are willing to enslave future generations financially by racking up trillions of dollars of debt. Now, rightfully so, each and every American is not waking up every day making the choice, yes, I'm going to go, you know, further into debt. This is the government debt, which they continue to collect every quarter, record amount of taxes, trillions of dollars in taxes, yet still fall hundreds of billions, if not more, short of meeting their budget. And we're already hit the $20 trillion debt mark. And Snyder points out that the debt ceiling has been lifted, that number's expected to shoot up very rapidly towards $21 trillion before the end of this year. That's only one quarter away, a few months away. And it goes on to talk about how we are committing national suicide. And I think it's a really good article. As Michael Snyder is running for Congress in his local district, and I know we have an invitation for Snyder to come on our daily show on Friday, and I'd like to get more his take more on exactly where he sees the economy going. I know it's not the greatest news, but we still have a stock market at $21,000 and still functioning economic system. So how's the debt going to affect the economy going forward? Are we going to see a lower dollar? Are we going to see wages decrease, if that's even possible? How are we going to see this rolled out is my question. So we're going to have to talk with Michael Snyder about that. Here's something that I want to get your take on, Dad. The Pope questioned Donald Trump's pro-life stance based on his immigration policies. Pope said...
It's a fallacious argument.
Right, it's a false intellectual logic, twisted logic. He goes on to say, could someone with Trump's views on immigration be considered pro-life? And this is something that the left-wing media has been doing for years, and even the right-wing media does it. You can have one set of facts, one story come out, and you can get two sides of the story. You can get the spin from the left and the right. And you see that a lot. But with this... you know, they go on to, in the article, to talk about Senator Elizabeth Warren making some false equivalencies. You know, people who are pro-life obviously don't want women to get cancer screenings and blah, 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 blah. You know, they equate abortion with women's reproductive health issues, and that's not the same as abortion, in my opinion. And your views and policies on immigration have nothing to do with your views and policies on abortion. Don't confuse the two issues.
Well, it's
playing to the lowest common denominator mentally.
There's two separate. I mean, they're just two distinctly different issues. And you can't even entertain that logic at this point. However, it's interesting because I think what we're seeing here is more importantly is when you see the Vatican come out with this. You're looking at a Christian power structure. Now, people
assemble
that.
I get that.
Okay. I understand that. Okay, but you're looking at this religious/Christian, Judeo-Christian ostensible power structure weighing in on this. And many will ask, or many have asked, well, how would the culture allow, for example, such things as the mark of the beast or the how could it be so bad where no one will be, you know, there's not going to be any believers, true believers left. And this is how it's going to be facilitated in my view. I think the socialist agenda, and it is a socialist agenda. I would say communist agenda. But socialism is communism, basically, without the guns. So in this case, the socialist agenda being pushed by the Vatican is going to grease the skids for this single one-world religion, much like we saw Obama or Bush greasing the skids for the Obama regime to go in office. And I think, you know what I mean? I think there are levels here in kind of like Kramer's apartment, make levels. Now, there are different levels, and I think that we're seeing this run up toward this single globalist religion through a socialist Vatican, through a socialist power structure that is going to legitimize things like no borders, yet, and legitimize abortions, but in a backhanded way by equating or attempting to equate, well, you're inconsistent in your thinking.
Right.
And it's kind of a twisted sense of logic, but people will get lost in that in an attempt to argue in those. To me, I would never even entertain that question or right. entertain that argument.
Question for you. I saw this today. I'm sure you saw it. Judge orders probe into Hillary Clinton lawyers over destroyed emails. The circuit judge in Maryland ordered a state bar to open an investigation into three lawyers who allegedly deleted thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails.
Name the lawyers.
Cheryl Mills. Cheryl Mills is in there. Yeah, all the three.
Heather Samuelson.
Yep.
And
I have to open that. I read this earlier, so I don't have the name.
I'm not sure.
But yeah,
Heather Samuelson's involved.
Let me see.
Well, now Judicial Watch has been working on this, and they've been doing a great job. This is perhaps one of the most important issues of the day. The emails, you know, just because Hillary Clinton lost the election does not mean that she should not be subjected to the rule of law. Right. And this is only the beginning, because you're talking about 33,000 deleted emails. No one's talking about this. And you're talking about an additional tens of thousands of emails on Huma Abedin / Anthony Weiner's electronics, phones, and laptops and desktops that we haven't even begun to talk about yet.
David Kendall, Cheryl Mills, and Heather Samuelson.
Okay, I got two out of three. David Kendall. Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. We'll be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. I'm having trouble speaking today. We're having Mr. Gary Hunt come on here in just a few minutes. He had a hearing on August 23rd, 2017 in Portland, Oregon, that dealt with the Bundy Ranch standoff and his role in uncovering undercover FBI informants in the, I guess you'd call it the Bundy camp, from the Maurer Wildlife Refuge standoff. And he's going to come on to talk about the Freedom of the Press hearing in Portland, Oregon, that he was a part of, that he has come on to talk about before, where they were arguing issues of jurisdiction and the standing of the case. And apparently he has an update on that. He has not written out an article of it yet, but he has issued a press release. And his website is Outpost of Freedom. And then we got some great guests coming up after that. So we'll be with Gary Hunt in just a few moments. Folks, want to draw your attention to Drudge Report. On the left-hand side under the main article, great again, median income rises to highest on record. Maybe we'll see if we can, with our second hour guest, Daniel Horowitz, break this down a little bit. I know he's not coming on to talk about the economy, but he is coming on to talk about Trump and some of the things that are ongoing in the Trump administration. Tax cuts are one of the things on the agenda. But this median income rises to highest on record. Is this a product of actions made and done by Donald Trump or confidence in him in the market? Or is this something that he is dovetailing off from the past? I guess is my question, and we will find that out. Also, iPhone apparently dropped or released a new iPhone today, right? Is that right, Eric? Do we know? It was a... See? Now, remember the first iPhone release? Like the old Microsoft computer software releases, you know, Windows 95 and 2000, where people stood in line to get these things in big presentations. Now, you know, it's just a headline on an internet forum or website, and nobody skips a beat. Nobody's camping out days to see these new gadgets. I don't know. If it is, the headline on Drudge is Apple Slip, and they're making the case in some of the articles also that there's not enough new technology, that smartphones have been the same for a long time, that they need a new type of iPhone to roll out to rejuvenate the excitement in those markets. And that's neither here nor there as far as my care level, or really I'd say most of the country. You know, whether you have a few changes to your iPhone, like a headphone jack or where the volume buttons are, not really that big a deal. Folks, again, I want to push you towards HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that site. Make sure you check that daily, as it is being put together not only by myself and Eric, but people like Stephen Menking, Peter Chowka, Ted Brewer. So many people are being able to post their own content on a regular basis, and that site is being populated heavily. So I urge you to make sure that you bookmark that site and check it regularly. Wanted to get into an area I don't think we're going to have time right now. I know we got some emails asking us to address the speculation that Donald Trump could be being poisoned or medicated while he's in office.
I talked about this in my, or during my show this morning from 9 to 10, and you can tune in to Doug Hagman Investigate in the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour from 9 to 10, and your show, Joe and John.
The Hagman Daily Show, 2 to 3 p.m.
I talked about this. Keith Schiller, the body man for the president, is number one aide, former NYPD detective. As Roger Stone describes him, the man who puts, you know, Donald Trump to bed at night, and he's the last person he sees at night, first person he sees in the morning, is being pushed out by General Kelly. And when I say being pushed out by General Kelly, I'm kind of using some liberties here. This is my interpretation, my view, okay, of what's taking place. It's Kelly has really isolated Donald Trump in such a way where everybody has to go through John Kelly. And Kelly was the former cabinet secretary, DHS secretary, then chief of staff. And as chief of staff, he's isolated Donald Trump. And what's taking place here is the isolation of Donald Trump. Now, the issue is, and this has been reported more than one place by more than InfoWars and by more than Roger Stone, is that there's been signs that Donald Trump has been fatigued, and even to the extent of during conversations, slurring some words, kind of like, just listen to me. No, I'm kidding with that, but there are some questions. You know, could something be taking place here within the inner circle, within the, and I think it's a little bit too early for that to take place. But don't forget, I said this in my morning show, the process is defeat. And if you can't defeat, then delegitimize. And if you can't delegitimize, then you destroy. And if you can't destroy through normal political means, then you remove. But that's the process. And I think that's the process that Donald Trump is going through right now, or being put on Donald Trump. So, yes, could this be happening? I think more so now than ever before, as we see the neocons, who are part of the deep state, and the other individuals who are part of the shadow government, two separate entities, one deep state being a subset of the shadow government. We see this taking place, and I think that this, we need to keep our eyes on this very carefully.
We have with us now, and you're right, I want to get into that. We have with us now our guest, Mr. Gary Hunt. His website, outpostoffreedom.com. That's outpost-of-freedom.com. In an ongoing court battle, last time we talked to him, Mr. Hunt, welcome back to the Hagmann Report.
Well, thanks for the invitation. It's good to be back.
And just to let you know, your video is not turned on. If you wanted to jump on back,
if you were planning on video, yep. Yep.
Yeah. Minor things. I'm still old fashioned.
No, I hear you. There you go. Hey, there's a good looking guy there. So, all right. So now you issued a statement regarding the Freedom of Press show cause hearing of August 23rd, 2017. What's going on with your case? You want to just lay it out that we.
Well, at this point, that's the end of the case. On August 23rd, we had the show cause hearing, and Judge Brown said that she was going to issue an order, finding of facts and law, and that she would take a while to do it. And it came out on the 17th of September, and I've sent John a copy of it. But Basically, she found. It's kind of interesting. I had a conversation with Skylar Barbeau. When you talk to somebody in prison, they give you the warning that this call's recorded. And to cheer him up, I told him we're going to maybe get some informants to testify in the next trial. Now she took that as fact, but then and there was no moral or legal obligation behind what I said to Skylar Barbeau. However, on the stand, taking an oath, where there's legal and moral obligation, I explained the circumstances around that, that my purpose has always been to inform the public, and I understood that that the defendants might benefit from it, but my intention was to inform the public, and she decided that that was the fiction, and the fact was my conversation with Skylar Barbeau. And on the basis of that, she determined that I aided and abetted, and Skylar wasn't even one of the defendants, that I aided and abetted the defendants, and the court did have jurisdiction. And so she's given me three things that have to be done. And at that hearing, I agreed that I would comply with the court if she found jurisdiction. And, you know, what am I going to say? No, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I might not have gotten out of court without...
Without agreeing to that, yeah.
Bracelets on, yeah. But the conditions are pretty simple. The court directs respondent to remove all excerpts and references to the substance of the CHS report from his website. That's one. Number two, the court directs respondent to destroy all remaining copies of the CHS report that he retains in either physical or electronic form, subject to the single exception below. And number three, the court directs respondent to certify his compliance with steps one and two with a statement under oath filed in the record of this matter by the same deadline. Now, the deadline is tomorrow at noon Pacific time. And the below is I can give a copy, which I have, to my attorney should we prevail in appeal. Whether we're going to appeal or not, is another question. I'm talking with some other lawyers that work on freedom of the press issues. The problem is I don't have big guns behind me, and so if I go to appeal and lose, we create stare decisis, or case law, which would make it more difficult for somebody in a like situation in the future to prevail, especially in the Ninth Circuit District area. So the decision whether we're going to appeal or not is being discussed at this time. But I fully intend to comply, but as you see by that statement, I'm encouraging people to download the information, and over 800 people have gone and gotten the PDF, and people are copying the pages. I mean, the traffic to my website has been phenomenal, a few thousand visits in the last 2 days. So,
okay, Gary, give out what you want people to download, and your website is outpost of freedom hyphens in between the words .com, but give out the exact documents that you want people to download.
/blog, outpost-of-freedom/blog.
All right.
There's also a URL, outpost-of-freedom.com/informants.htm. At that address, there's a PDF that has all the, let's call them offending articles in a single PDF. At the blog, you can go to the series list and go to Burns Chronicles and scroll down through it. Beginning with Burns Chronicles number 30, you'll find a number of them that have names, Burns Chronicles, NN, and then a name like Mama Bear or Mark McConnell, and those are the offending articles. Now, by noon tomorrow, I will have taken all of the excerpts out of those articles. The articles will remain up, and it'll say redacted everywhere I had an insert that was from the CHS report. So the articles are going to stay up. I don't believe in removing things once I've written them, but they're going to be redacted in compliance with the court order. My attorney affirmed that he got the CHS reporting file, so I've deleted from my computer all the CHS reports that I had.
Okay.
And I will be in compliance, but I'm encouraging everybody to download those and share them. At least we know who 9 or 12, whatever it was, however many identified their informants. And in the hearing, Jason Krueger, FBI Special Agent Jason Krueger, testified that one of the informants had to be relocated. Now, that's interesting. So these guys are part-time employees, but the government will relocate him so he can go inform on other patriots.
I've never even heard of that being an... Okay, so if, at best, as an informant, they would be an operational asset, not in the direct employee of the FBI, but what you're saying is the federal government had to relocate that asset.
Asset?
Really? At their expense.
Sworn testimony. In the hearing on August 23rd, he said that, and it surprised me because I thought these were kind of freelancers.
But sure.
You don't relocate freelancers.
No.
They're assets at that point.
Well, having been one myself for the Department of Justice and the FBI back in the 1990s, not something I'm proud of, Gary, but nonetheless, I was an operational asset.
You've more than made up for it.
Oh, well, thank you. I will say this, there was, you're on your own. There is no relocating, at that level, okay? Because I've never heard of that, and I can't believe anything's changed since, over the 20 years with respect to that policy. But okay, wow, that's...
Well, based on testimony both in Oregon and in Nevada, though, sworn testimony by FBI agents, are they telling the truth when they cried because the people had guns? You got to take what Krueger said with a grain of salt. I mean, he's trying to get the court to turn against me and freedom of the press. And so is he willing to lie to do that, to say that the burden was put on the FBI because of what I did? So I don't know if it's true or not, quite frankly.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So I don't want to say you've prevailed, but in a sense you have prevailed, but in a way it's a kind of a push too. And if people download the articles now, they're going to get the unredacted version. right?
They're going to get the unredacted version if they download them before noon tomorrow, yes.
Okay, all right.
So, and I would estimate that there are hundreds, of, if not thousands, of copies out by this time.
All right. And if you're... Now, let me toss this out there. What would happen, for example, if... And I'm using this as a hypothetical. We took those articles and published the unredacted versions of the articles on our website. Now, what would happen? You're not in violation of anything, right?
That's correct. And you know, the through these proceedings has been very there were two protective orders. The first one addressed defendants, their cohorts, and their attorneys and all that. The second one was directed specifically, as stated in the court documentation, at Gary Hunt, even though it, by its wording, it encompassed the entire world. But they've made clear a number of times that it's only me they're going after now. They're just being vindictive, basically.
Right.
There's no effort to try and remove them from all websites, which was in the original proposed order. And they've pretty much made clear that other people can keep that up there. They can't.
I think we got a little.
I think we froze
Skype
up there,
glitch.
Gary. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Pardon me?
Yeah, okay. You froze up briefly there, my friend.
Yeah, you were saying that thousands of other websites are allowed to publish it, and originally they announced that they would shut down on all websites, and then you cut off.
Yeah.
Then they, during the progressive orders, they've directed it solely at me, and this final order is directed solely at me, and they've made clear that it does not apply to other people. I think they realize that if they tried to suppress other people publishing that information, that they might open a can of worms that they don't like.
Yeah. Okay.
Some people have already gone and put in comments on the articles a link to where the articles are. Now, I have no control over comments, and I'm not going to suppress freedom of the speech by saying that you can't put that comment up there. So there will be comments that will have links to the entire article, even though my article will be redacted.
Was that, from what you read, that wasn't specified in the agreement? And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just going to say I don't know how they can turn around and punish you for what other people have wrote after the fact.
Right, and nor can they tell me that I can't allow people to comment on my pages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, they have not been careful from the wording from the beginning. And so I'm abiding by the letter of this final order, the finding of facts and law that she came out with. And, there's nothing in there that goes in any further than that.
And you know, what I see here, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see, it's not like you're being a jerk about this. You're just, you may be pushing the envelope a little bit, maybe, if you kind of, you know, kind of wince and look through, but not really, I guess. The thing I suppose that they would want you to do is just take everything down and forget about it and just go on your merry way. But you're not going to do that. You make the necessary redactions. They're still up, and you know that's going to cause others to post this information elsewhere, but what are you going to do about it? But hey, you're following the law, the judicial order, that is. Okay.
Well, she said if I don't comply, there will be additional coercive action, but I'm, you know, from the beginning, I've tried to abide by the letter of the law. The
right.
First order named certain people. I was not among them. The supplemental order, she assumed jurisdiction through the entire world because it wasn't limiting it to me or anything else. And now I've got this order, which I agreed to comply with, and I read it over and over again. What does it not say? What does it say? And I'm sticking to the letter of the law, so to speak. Am I pushing the envelope? Yes. You know, if they're so, I don't want to say stupid, if they're so uncautious that they just slap something down on paper and said this will do, maybe they omitted something, but they omitted it, and
yeah,
this is the final one. I mean, this is it.
What do you think the bigger picture here, Mr. Hunt? Freedom of speech. You're a journalist. You're publishing this information. It's really nothing that I've seen is malicious. I truly believe any relocation is an overstatement, hyperbole perhaps. But I mean, how does this affect freedom of speech for journalists from your perspective?
Well, that's exactly why there's concern about going to the appellate court to establish stare decisis. It's disconcerting, but, you know, if it was mainstream media, for example, some of the Discovery video footage was used in a program broadcast on television. The defendants can't release that footage, but somehow a television station got a hold of it, or some television producers got a hold of it and did a video with that information, and there wasn't a word said about what they did. So when you're a big guy in mainstream media and your bias is towards the government, I guess it's okay. But when your bias is against the government, well, that's not okay.
Hey, well, wrong administration. Dissent was patriotic back in dissent is patriotic now. Well, never mind that. That's kind of
dissent has to be patriotic now because the government sure isn't patriotic.
Thank you for helping me out with that. Yeah, this is incredible. So, but you do expect you're going to comply with everything.
I'm going to comply with everything, yes.
And it's all going to be over and done with. You're going to be free and clear, barring anything, to come out of left field, which that doesn't seem like it's going to happen, right?
They would be very, I don't know how to say it, to try and restart this now would make them look stupid.
Right. And that's
as
perfect.
If they haven't already, I should say.
Well, yeah. And when you look at the case, folks, you can go to the website linked off of Hagman Report. And you go to his website and take a look at the documentation and follow the case. And if you've been following Gary Hunt as he's appeared on our program, yeah, exactly. Look stupid indeed. Wow. All right. This is just. I got to ask you, how this had a sting. Court fee or legal fee wise, this had a sting, right?
Well, actually, not the costs incurred. I spent 7 days in jail in Sacramento, and the order that went down. I wrote an article about it. The order that went down made me look like a bad guy that I was going to resist with firearms and all this. And the judge expected me to be. I was arrested on Friday, and she expected me to be in Portland on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, she started calling around. On Thursday, we had a telephonic conference. And, well, when she called the Sacramento, well, he should be there by the 25th of the month. Now, that's about enough time to diesel. That's how much time it took John Ritzheimer to get from Phoenix to Oklahoma to Nevada and finally to Oregon. 25 days is the diesel program. And they were going to put me on the diesel program, and she got upset, and I got to applaud her for that she got me out of jail that the very day of the telephonic conference.
Got it. Okay.
And so she was good on that, but then my cost, the government is paying for Michael Rose, my attorney. Paul Boylan has been assisting, and he's doing it pro bono. I have had to pay my way to Portland, Oregon twice, and I did that. That was funded by contributions from people who donated to help me get up there. I have a Social Security check and very little more.
Understood.
And so, you know, I would have to hitchhike if it wasn't for the aid from other patriots to get me to Portland for my appearances.
Well, thank God, and thank you, everyone, for helping out, Mr. Gary Hunt. Gary, we only have about a minute left here together. What's your pearls of wisdom at this point, hours out from closing this out?
Well,
tomorrow,
there are a number of people in Oregon, in the Oregon case and the Nevada case, that are standing firm to their convictions. I did a little part. I only spent 7 days in jail. They've got 2 years in jail. But standing defiant against the government is the only way we're going to pressure them back into compliance with the Constitution.
Okay.
And so if you're going to take a stand, make sure that you're not going to move your feet once you stand.
And you know what? We all better stand together. We all better stand together, or we're going to hang individually, as the saying goes.
That is true. And in my case, the people came and aided me in making sure that I made my appearances, and they stood with me. Well, and they're standing with me now in copying and reposting all these articles so that the world knows that these guys are informants, that they are spies against their own people. Stasi, KGB come to mind.
And we're not talking about for any noble cause either. In my view, we're talking about a despicable situation. If you know the truth. Go ahead.
2002, the FBI had 4,000 informants. This is a USA Today article. In 2007, they had 15,000 informants. I've been looking, and it seems to me that about a year ago I read that they were up to 30,000 informants. But we know by 2007 they had 15,000 informants. That's not DEA. That's the FBI.
So. Just the FBI. Incredible.
Yeah. Gary Hunt is our guest.
Patriot.
Absolutely. Freedom, or Outpost of Freedom. Freedom. Dot blog? Am I getting that right? Dot com. I'm sorry. Outpost hyphen
dot
of.
Com slash blog.
Right.
Hyphen freedom dot com.
Slash
Gary
blog.
Hunt. And folks, we will be talking with Gary, I'm sure, again in the near future. Gary, God bless you. Thank you so much for what
Thanks,
you do.
Brother. It's good to see you, and it's good to hear you. And you keep on keeping on, my man. We'll talk soon.
I will.
All right.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
We'll be right back after this network break.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.